Honest Truth met Benita Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us this evening as questions grow around the city of Cape Town's transparency and urban development, as we explore how planning decisions shape our communities and influence property rights, is Professor within the School of Business and Economics at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Daniel Meyer. Professor, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Good evening, and it's always nice to be on your program. Thank you.
Professor, what are the broader governance risks when key decision-making bodies appear to operate with limited public scrutiny or accountability?
Yeah, I think it's all to do with good governance. In South Africa, we are looking for good governance. We want good governance, and everybody wants it. And that's why I would say that the 4th of November, end of this year, is going to be so crucial that we vote for good governance, good service delivery. But good governance means transparency, openness, responsibility, accountability. We need to know what's happening in government, at all spheres of government, local government, provincial and national government, and national budgets and local budgets and local committees should be open to the public to know what type of decisions they've taken, why it was taken, by who it was taken, who is the members of a committee. All of those things must be open to the public. There's no reason why any committee should have secrets to the public. So, I think this discussion about this municipal planning tribunal, and it's all about land use management and land use planning. Every property in any municipality has got a zoning or a land use right. You can have, for example, a residential right that you can have one residence built on it, or you can apply to build four residences on it, and that is a process to go through. Or you can change the zoning from, let's say, residential to use for commercial or manufacturing use. So there's many processes. In my previous life, I was a town and regional planner, so I know a little bit about this topic. So it was good for you to discuss it with me. Thank you.
How important then is transparency then, Professor, when it comes to municipal planning in building both public trust and the role it can play in stimulating economic growth?
Yeah, that's obviously one of the cornerstones of good governance. Transparency with accountability. If you take a decision, you need to take responsibility for that and accountability. If you spend money and that money was, let's say, fruitless expenditure or something like that, you need to take accountability, and there should be consequences for those type of wrong decisions at any level of government. So I think that's one of the major shortcomings in South Africa at all levels of government is accountability. And then if you make a mistake, is the responsiveness of that municipality, as well as the consequences that is there for an official that's taking a wrong decision. But transparency and openness is the cornerstones of good governance.
The City of Cape Town has confirmed that it doesn't keep formal record of tribunal members' qualifications, affiliations, or current employers beyond basic appointment details. In your view, Professor, what minimum information should any municipality hold and publish about people wielding this kind of planning power?
I think if we look at the SPLUMA, that is the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act, which is a national act. It's applicable to all municipalities. It replaced some of the old apartheid land use planning legislation. I think about 2015, it was replacing all of those things. It consolidated all of these provincial land use planning and municipal planning acts. So it was a combination of everything. And in that act, it tells municipalities how to advertise, how to scrutinize applications, and then appoint people. But usually on a municipal planning tribunal, there should be members of the municipality, so officials should be on there. Let's say, I'm not sure about the ratio, but let's say half should be officials and the other half should be external people private of consultants, town planners that's in private practice, business people, as well as possibly legal people, and they should have high levels of qualifications also. And that application process should be open to the public, and whoever is appointed at on this tribunal, this council that looks at spatial planning and land use applications, should be open to the public. We should know who is the members, at least what is the, how does their CVs look like. And then obviously we should be able to see the minutes of meetings when they have meetings, and who's the chairperson, who's the deputy chairperson, and who are the rest of the committee members. So that is basically the basic principle of openness and transparency, is that there's a clear process how to apply, and that, that it should be published basically to say these are the members of the tribunal. And these are the reasons how they were appointed for a 5-year period. I think the act says 5 years or less than 5 years, but 5 years or less than 5 years.
Professor within the school, within the College of Business and Economics at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Daniel Mayer joining us this evening, as responding and giving us insights around questions growing about the City of Cape Town's transparency and urban development based on investigative reports published in the Daily Maverick. The first part says members of the Cape Town's Municipal Planning Tribunal can now effectively serve for life. The second part interrogates the tribunal's lack of official employment records and the basis of its apparent property above development above all else policy. You're welcome to share your thoughts and join us too. 0829 904 904. Professor, the City of Cape Town argues that densification is necessary to address spatial inequality and accommodates population growth. How can cities balance these legitimate goals within the rights and concerns of residents who oppose developments in their own neighborhoods?
Look, town planning and then the planning and the changing in zonings and so on is quite a complicated process. There are basic principles in terms of modern town planning, for example, densification. But then you need to have clear capacity for your service delivery. Your water, sewer, electricity, and roads must be able to have the capacity to have the more vehicles, more people living in a square, let's say in a hectare, a 10,000 square meter area. So you can densify, but at a responsible level. So I think there's many places in the Cape Town metro area that has very low densities, and that has been historically the case. But will it be possible to densify those areas? Will the services be able to handle the increased pressure? And that is what is the multidimensional level of analysis. You need to look at engineering services, you need to look at traffic generation of these uses. So sometimes it's not possible to densify even more than was historically there. And Cape Town, as you know, is like half a city. You've got the ocean on one side. It's not like Joburg that has got, it's got a circle highway network around it. Cape Town has got like roads coming into the center, but it is on the other side, it's the ocean. So it's much more difficult to handle transportation via your roads and rail network. So it's not so easy. And some of the infrastructure is also very old. So there's a lot of pros and cons for densification. It depends on different suburbs. Is it possible or not? The residents also have a say in this, that they, if they don't want densification, they can then object against any application for a land use change. So it's all democratic. It's open. There's participation. And if it makes sense and there's capacity for services and there's capacity for more traffic, then there could be some densification. But every suburb, every area will be different. It needs to be analyzed in detail.
How then should municipalities, do you feel, navigate this tension then between public interest and some of the pushback encountered? The city says that these decisions serve development rather than private property interests.
Yeah, when I read everything about this municipal tribunal, municipal planning tribunal, it seems very strange that we don't know exactly who's the members. We don't know exactly what decisions they are taking. We don't know how long they've been appointed. And some of the reports says they can be there for life, but it's against the legislation. And in some instances, it says that the bylaws for City of Cape Town overrules the National Act of Spluma Act, which is not true. So there's a lot of issues here, and we need to say that there's an annual process at any municipality where you look at your spatial planning, and there's a roadshow where the integrated development plan, the IDPs, are discussed within the ward committees. It goes higher up to the IDP committees, where people can give inputs with regard to spatial planning. So every city, every municipality has got a spatial development framework, which indicates the principles for regions within the municipality. Let's say, for example, the Atlantic Beach area from Llandudno right through to the waterfront. That area, what is the spatial planning for that region? Is it open for densification? At what level? What are the land uses that could be allowed? So that there must be basic principles for each region that is being accepted by the public and residents of a specific area. And that needs to be communicated on an annual basis. It can change over time. Every year, there's a look at the spatial development framework. The IDPs are updated and it's published. And there is an official spatial development framework which gives all of these guidelines. And this tribunal and any planning decision must be based on the spatial development framework. And the public should be able to go and have a look at this the STF spatial development framework and see what does it tell them about their specific suburb or their region or their area, and what is the future planning and what type of applications will be accepted when they are submitted. So every property, as I said, has got a zoning. You are allowed to change it. You can apply. It must be advertised. There must be a public process, and then there must be a decision taking that's based on the spatial development framework and sound town planning principles. If that is not the case, then there's a problem.
From your reading into some of the investigative reports, do you see that happening in this instance?
It looks like there is not a good process at this point of time, because I did try to investigate and see who are the members of the committee. And I couldn't determine that. I just could see there's 24 members. And it's suggested there that some of them has been in position for more than 10 years, which is not according to the Spluma. So it feels like on the investigation I've done for the last day or so that it's not really as open as it should be. And maybe we should get the chairperson of the committee on the radio to see what he's saying, because he's been the chairperson for more than 10 or 11 years of this committee, it looks like. And who are the other members and what are the basic principles they take decisions on? It seems it says in some of the reporting that they development at all costs, which means that you can have conflicting land uses next to each other. You can have very high densities, which people maybe don't want in their area. So there could be a lot of conflict if you have got a principle like that. I will be surprised if a committee like that has got a development at all cost outlook. That means also they don't take in account environmental issues, which is a huge problem in a city like Cape Town, where the environment is so important, and global warming, densities along the coast could be a problem into the future. But it seems like a little bit irresponsible to have an outlook like that.
And from a policy perspective, as you're pointing out, there needs to be that balance between economic developments, environmental concerns, as well as community considerations. Professor, if residents feel that objection processes really influence outcomes, what are the consequences for civic engagement and confidence in institutions?
Yeah, I think that the process should be like this. There should be a a spatial development framework. There's also a land use management system where you can see, okay, this is the current zoning. If somebody applies next to you to put up a 5-story hotel next to your property in, let's say, Clifton, you can then, there will be an advertisement process of 28 days. Residents can then object and lodge objections against this application. It goes to the municipal tribunal for a decision. Let's say then they approve it and the person can then erect a 5-story building and they take your view away, for example. It minimizes or lessens your value of your property. Then the municipality approves it. It affects you negatively. You can take the next step and object and submit to the provincial government. They will then resolve and see if they can find a solution to this. If not, then it can go to the court. So there's also for residents, the last resort is going to court and take the municipality to court. That is a last resort. That is still an option for people to do. So it's not the end. If the municipality approves, there's other processes also.
As you mentioned earlier, I think it certainly would be worthwhile to also hear from the City of Cape Town their response to these investigations which have come to light. But lastly, Professor, you've outlined the framework. Would the reforms be required, do you feel, also to strengthen accountability and, importantly as well, to improve public participation?
On the basis of the reports and the investigation that I've seen, I feel that there's a process to be followed by the municipality to explain what is happening there. Why do they think the bylaws overrule the National Act? I think that is not a good governance and cooperative governance decision. So they should be following the National Acts. There should be more openness, transparency to say, okay, who are these members of this committee? What are the basic principles of decision making in terms of planning and land use management? I think all of those things need to be resolved by the municipality. They should come out with a policy statement to say, this is the committee. This is why we are there for more than 10 years in conflict with the National Act, but this is why we've done it. This is the qualifications of the members. This is the basic principles they take decisions on. We are objective. We are good town planners that takes decisions to the benefit of everybody, all of the residents in City of Cape Town. And they should come out with a policy statement like that. Otherwise, we're going to continue to think that they are not open. They take some strange decisions. Town planning decisions can have huge economic impacts on residents. It affects the valuation of your property. If somebody gets a land use application through, that affects your property negatively. There's a lot of implications in terms of the zonings of properties, affects the economy of a city also. It's got huge impacts on a lot of things.
Professor within the College of Business and Economics at the University of Johannesburg, Professor Daniel Meyer. Appreciate your time
and
insights, Professor. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you and good evening.